Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. Sim, since the last time we talked, it's been a pretty disappointing couple of weeks. The Purdue Boilermakers went out west to Oregon State, and they were defeated 38-21 and followed that up with a loss at home on homecoming to the Nebraska Cornhuskers 28-10. So we're now a quarter, or I'm sorry, we're now a third of the way through the season, and the Boilermakers stand at 1-3 on the year. And it's been a pretty interesting 4 games. I don't think that anybody thought that Purdue was going to start the year 4-0. But I don't think that anybody thought Purdue was going to be 1-3 also. And really, just the way that they lost these games have been pretty frustrating.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think anyone thought we were going to be 4-0, but you definitely felt like being 1-3, and then also the way that they've looked, being like getting to this point. Obviously, like we talked about the Notre Dame game. If you haven't already, double back and check that out again for the vibes. between the Oregon State and the Nebraska game, I especially think that a lot of us looked at that Oregon State game as like, yeah, you can get that one. And I genuinely feel like, if you had complimentary football in that game, you don't give them 10 points, essentially minimum. It's minimum of 10, cause I'm just giving them 3 for that fumble. but I think if you just play a cleaner game, a cleaner game with some complimentary football, you probably win against Oregon State. Then you look at this past Saturday and, defense pitches a shutout in the first half and you can't really do anything about that. Can't even do anything with that in terms of offensively. And then, you are able to go down and score. And then it was almost like us scoring opened the floodgates for Nebraska to then score. It's been extremely frustrating to watch these last 3 games. I mean, I think neither of us were like way over the moon after the Indiana State game, because we knew like you're supposed to do that, against a team like against that level of competition. But you just expected better. You just expected better. I guess more fight. Just more. Just a number of things that you haven't been seeing. And even though the defense played better these last couple games than they did in that Notre Dame game, still just like it's still, it was, I mean, there's still room for improvement for them. And then even for as well as they might have played, like in terms of improving, they weren't able to get that helping hand from the offense at the times they needed it. And I think if you're able to get that complimentary football, I think for sure you take you probably grab Oregon State. And then it's at least close in that Nebraska game coming down to it, where, it's a play here, a play there can kind of be the difference. And it just in either of those games, it came down to that, in both of those games, you just weren't able to those. Yeah. And it just it just was not great.
Yeah, I think complimentary football is going to be the theme of this episode, but I think the most frustrating thing for me watching this team is there's really no identity to this team. Like, who are they at this point? And we'll dive into both offense and defense, but just as a whole, this team, I mean, they struggle on the offensive end to score points. They just turn the ball over at the most unopportune times. And not only do they turn the ball over, but the turnovers are leading directly to points. And when you are struggling to score anyway, and you're just giving team free points, you're really putting yourself in a hole. And then, it just kind of all piles on top of each other, because then this is a very undisciplined team. The penalties just come at the most opportune times. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but when you're struggling offensively and you put yourself behind the chains, you're going to struggle. And so you're struggling there. Special teams, I mean, has had moments. They blocked, 2 field goals? But then they missed a field goal too, which was not a difficult kick. So, I mean, there's nothing really you can like hang your hat on. I feel like even with the defense, I feel like the defense has played well. But you know, it's just such a tall task to ask this defense to go out and play basically perfect right now because the offense is struggling so much. And you can literally see it wearing on the defense as the game goes on. And it's just really frustrating to see because, you know, like I go back to, like, what you're a quarter into the season, and who is this team right now?
That's a good question. I don't have the answers for you. And I think that is a concern that you don't know what this team is going to give you. And I think we talked about that after Notre Dame, about how, like, you don't know, like, what is this team? What do you know? Like, every time you watch this Purdue team go out, what do you know for sure you're going to get from them on both sides of the ball? And you don't have that answer. And if you don't have that answer, like, yeah, you're 1-3 because of that. You're 1-3 because of that. And it could get worse before it gets better if we're not able to kind of identify that stuff. Yeah, man, I agree with you. Like I mentioned earlier, and you just touched on, in terms of like the defense's performance, is like, especially in that Oregon State game, the defense very much so seemed like they came out like, hey, like, we have something to prove after that Notre Dame game. Like, that's not us. Like, we're better than that. You know, we're better at tackling, even though it's like, man, how much, like, is it possible to play worse than you played against Notre Dame? But they played well enough, I think, to where, like, if you were able to get something from the offense, like, that would go a long way. But, like, because the offense wasn't really able to kind of get it going, you can see, as you pointed to, like, you could tell, like, when you get into that third and the fourth quarter, you can see how, like, they're just tired, because, you know, when you're out there for that long, and again, a team like Oregon State, we talked about it before, like, going into the before the game, about how, like, they like to run the ball, and you can see how, like, they were kind of able to impose their will, and then they're starting to finish drives. So the drives are longer, one, and then two, they're finished them with points. And now we're struggling to get points. And like you said, like, when you turn the ball over, that's one thing. When you're turning the ball over and it's immediately leading to points, I believe Hudson Card's had three. He's had a pick six in each of the last three games. Like, you can't do that. You can't have that. You have to be better with the ball. But those are the things, though, that put you even further behind the eight ball, because now as an offense, when you're struggling to be able to put drives together where you can score, yet let alone a touchdown, or just struggling just to be able to score, to be able to, that, you know, to have three consecutive games where you've gifted the other team a full set of, I mean, full six, that's hard to bounce back from, man. That's hard to bounce back from. And you're just kind of thinking at this point, like, hey, man, like, something's got to give. Like, something's got to, like, are we really this bad? Like, I still like to think that we're not as bad as what the record indicates. But, you know, with each passing game, and, you know, obviously for myself, I've been at all the home games. You know, that when you're continuously watching the eye test, it's just kind of like, all right, like, what, shit, maybe this is what we are. And I hope I end up being proved wrong, because, like you said, it's only a quarter of the way through the season. So, like, you still have some time, but, man, it's getting late early.
It is. And I think to kind of piggyback off of what you touched on with the turnovers, and specifically, you know, the three pick sixes, and I mean, it's one thing when you're turning the ball over and you have an opportunistic defense on the other side that can kind of help you out and bail you out. And again, go back to the theme of complementary football, but the offense is struggling to score. And what can a defense do to try to help out that offense is generate some plays. And that is exactly what the Purdue defense has not done. In fact, they are the only FBS team to not have a turnover on defense. Let that sink in for a second. We're four games into the season, and they have not intercepted the football or recovered a fumble on defense. I don't know how that's possible. And it's pretty frustrating, because I feel like watching this game, you're just like, man, if the defense can just make a play, can just get a spark, and it's probably unfair pressure on the defense, but at some point you just got to think, like, somebody's going to make a play, man.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's my thing, is like, it's hard to think like to process that as even be as being a real stat, because like that even means that against Indiana State you still didn't do that. And again, man, like you just, I'm not even gonna lie, I just feel like over four games you would have probably tripped into one. Like you would have probably had one, you know, like one missed blocking assignment, like from, you know, from a team's O line, and then, you know, someone comes in, you know, unblocked, and they're able to jar the ball loose and you get the ball back that way. I mean, you kind of figure you'd be able to find your way into one. That, you know, quarterback overthrows it or something like that, a batted ball, something like that. You don't have anything to show for it. And like you said, something that can really help you know, a struggling offense is playing with a shorter field. So if the defense is able to give you a turn, you know, to get a turnover. Now, that being said, the Oregon State game essentially started with a turnover, because Oregon State decided to go for it on fourth down, didn't get it. So I'm sure the defense is like, hey, look, it's not a turnover, but it kind of is a turnover. You give the offense a shorter field. And then, you know, let's go back to the word, let's go back to the phrase, you know, complimentary football. And when that did happen, offense still couldn't cash it in. So yeah, I mean, I think that the only reason why we're not talking about the defense more is because of how poor they looked against Notre Dame, and how they haven't looked nearly that bad since that game, which is good, but also there's still very glaring things that they need to, like, you know, that they need to shore up. Obviously, and then the offense being as poor as it has been, I think that has been the more polarizing thing right now, which has garnered more of the conversation. But like in time, believe me, we will. I mean, I know on here we're still gonna talk about the defense. You're not safe.
Too right. Like, I mean, like again, it goes back to complementing each other. Like, if one side is doing well, that's gonna lead to the other side doing well. Unfortunately, right now, both sides are not doing well, and it's just kind of piling on top of each other. And just one last point on the turnovers, because like how you brought up, man, like you would think there would just be like an overthrow or something. I'm trying to think back. I can't even think of a play where a defender in the secondary or a linebacker dropped a pick.
I know,
and you were like, oh, he almost had it.
No, I'm right there with you, dude. I don't think. Like, I don't think the chance has even been there. Like, I don't think that a defensive back or somebody on that defense has had a chance, like, with their hands on the ball, or like the ball's been on the ground and like you've had an opportunity of like, hey, you could fall on it. Like, I don't even think those opportunities have presented themselves.
Which is even more crazy.
Right. Which is just, all right, turnover gods, like, don't be on our side, but like, send a text message out and let us know when this thing's gonna break. Like, please. Something. Right.
All right, well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. I'm sure everyone listening to this has heard by now. But after the, I guess the news came out, was that late afternoon yesterday, that Purdue has parted ways with offensive coordinator Graham Harrell, just over a year into it. What, a year and four games into it. And honestly, my initial reaction, and Sim, I think you'll kind of agree with me. And let me just first clarify, I never want to like boast anybody losing a job. But it was something that I felt like needed to happen. There needed to be some kind of shakeup. And honestly, I did not think that it was, one, going to be this extreme, and two, that it was going to happen this early. But I think it was something that needed to happen.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you in the sense that, like, I think we all knew, like, we all had a feeling like, yo, like, a change needs to be made. I was of the thought that, like, Walters would get, you know, you get that opportunity. I think most head coaches really get this opportunity. You get an opportunity to basically be like, look, all right, like, if I messed up on my coordinator hires, like, you get an opportunity to kind of swap them out if you need to, without obviously losing your own job. I'm more surprised that it actually happened. That's my thing, is I think I'm surprised that it happened, and I'm surprised that it happened now, just because from just all the conversations, you know, that we've had offline and just with other people, obviously at the game, It was like everyone could see in plain sight that something wasn't right with the offense. And not saying that this offense is some like high powered juggernaut, like the LSU team with Burrow, Chase, and Jefferson. I'm not saying that, but you definitely feel like you should be able to get more. You know, if you have these skill guys, why aren't we getting the ball in their hands out in space? You know, why aren't we trying stuff like screen passes and whatnot? Just like things that could be extensions of the run game. Cause you did have, an ability to be able to run the ball, especially out to the edges. Between Love and Maccabi, they've been carrying the ball pretty well. But obviously you can't just lean on that the entire time. You need to see something through the air, and you weren't seeing us sustain drives. So like you knew a change needed to happen. And honestly, it felt like the only person who could go was Graham Harrell. Just in terms of if you're going to make a move offensively. I just was surprised that it happened. I really was, man. I just fully expected to, while that the sentiment was like, yeah, you probably need to make a change there. Fully expected for Walter to come out of his presser and just be like, yeah, man, we're preparing for Wisconsin and vibes. And I was going to be like, oh, okay, cool. Double fist from here on out.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the presser because I think Walters was pretty open throughout the press conference that he had on Monday when we're recording this. I felt like, for as much as a coach can be, he was pretty open about the whole thing. And I think, you could sense the frustration even in the post game from this weekend. If you go back and look at it, I think, it had just kind of been building up. And I mean, one that kind of stood out was, he didn't want to wait until the year was over, wait until maybe three or four more games and kind of, it's almost too late. And you never know what's going to happen, like how this change can like impact it. And so why not make the change now and see? But I think his answers were very open and honest, which I appreciated. And yeah, to your point, I mean, I think everybody was just a little shocked. But again, like just watching that offense be so bland and vanilla and no variety. And, it was almost like a 180 from the Brom days of, you could almost guarantee some kind of trickery plays or, stretching the field, taking some shots, but running the ball differently. I think we've joked, like, I feel like Purdue runs the read option 25 times a game and Hudson maybe keeps it once. And like, what are we doing, man? Like, so I was encouraged that there's still going to be some fight, for lack of a better term. And it's not just like, oh, well, let's just keep trying this and see, because you got to change something.
Yeah, no, I think probably a good point too about like what the Brom days were. Obviously we're not trying to wax poetic about that, but I think there were times when we were watching with Brom where you would almost be like, bro, you don't need to do so many different things. Like these three things are working. And for like, it's a complete 180 from that. And that like, you feel like we run the same stuff. And when it doesn't work, we still will run it. And it's like, nah, you have to adjust. You have to adjust, because even in game, if you're doing something, you're doing it well for a half, there's a strong chance that, they're going to go in the locker room and the opposing team's going to be like, all right, look, they're doing really well with this. We're going to have to cut this off. We have to make them do something else. And yeah, you didn't see the type of variety. You didn't see the in-game changes. And like I was mentioning earlier, like if your idea is to like trying to get like longer passes, like deeper passes downfield, but you can't get that, there's still a way to be able to pass the ball. And I think that can be kind of like an extension of the run game. You can go to more like shorter passes and whatnot. And it just felt like there were so many other things I wouldn't say so many, but there were just other things that we could try that on offense that would just like, and it was like nothing, none of that was ever, it's just from what you saw, it was like none of that was even being considered. So yeah, I mean, when you and like, what was it? The stat is that like after like just what scored 49 points against Indiana State and that 38 combined in the next three, like nah, man, like that'll get you Pink Slip Mafia. That'll come get you. That's how you get relieved of your duties, man. That's too damning. And I think yeah, I appreciated the way that how candidly Walter spoke at his at the presser today. Talking about how like yeah just giving like really full detailed and like full like detailed answers and also talking about how like he felt like if he didn't make this change it would have been like waving the white flag and knowing that there's still so much football left to be played that like look if we can salvage something out of this season like I need to do something now before this you know this really 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 gets away from me. So I definitely I appreciate that for sure. And it does give me a bit of it does give you a bit of like, I guess, of optimism, just because you're like, all right, well, if he has the type of foresight to see, like, all right, cool, I need to make this change now. We're not out here clamoring weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, because this is very much so something that could have been, you know, 4 or 5 weeks from now when he finally does it. We're all sitting here, be like, well, dude, why didn't you do that, you know, after the Nebraska game or after blank game, you know? So for him to do that now, I mean, that's positive for sure. But you know, now we got to see what happens going forward.
Yeah, and there was just one quote specifically that I wanted to highlight from Coach Walters. And he was asked kind of the question was, can you go into more specifics about what you felt like this offense wasn't doing that it's supposed to be doing besides scoring points? And Walters' answer was, and I quote, "Yeah, obviously you want to be able to sustain drives and put points on the board. I think Hudson Card is a talented quarterback and he hasn't looked like himself. We are not as explosive as I think we can be. I think we're doing a good job of running the football, but it's hard to find easy throws and getting people in advantageous situations depending on coverage and the shell defensively that's being presented pre-snap. And we haven't played complementary football. That's why I made the decision I made." And damn, that about sums up the Purdue offense the past few weeks.
No, yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. I'd
That,
agree.
I mean, that basically hits the nail right on the head is that, and I don't think anybody's like saying Hudson Card sucks. Like, and I think that's kind of the most frustrating thing is like there's talent out there, and we just have not been able
To
to
utilize it.
put guys in a position to be successful.
Right. And that's the big part of like coaching is being able to evaluate the guys that you have. And when you've got some explosive personnel and some people who, you know, like, hey, we need to get the ball in this person's hands. You have to find ways to do that. And we've seen that before, you know, again, referencing Brom, we've seen that with him before. We've seen that be something that happens. And good things happen when you get the ball to your skilled guys with space. Good things happen.
Yeah, and I think that was probably the biggest knock on Graham. That and just I think the one other super frustrating thing was like the lack of in-game adjustments. I think, you know, I don't know if there was like a set plan that hey, we gotta run these plays here. But there never really seemed to be any kind of adjustment. And to kind of go with your point, like, hey, if this one aspect is working, let's roll with that until they stop it. Feels like we would have times where we'd, you know, hit off two or three, you know, nice plays, and then there'd just be like a play call where you're just scratching your head, like,
Why are we
why
running
did
that?
you call that there?
Right. And that's the thing too, is that like if something's working for you too, I feel like you can use that to set up some other stuff, you know? And it just didn't seem as though, again, you just weren't getting complimentary football. And I think more of the onus falls on if it's been falling on the offense because yeah, I mean 38 points in three games, and some of these drives have seemed so. They seem they're just so painful to watch, man. Like some of these drives, and some of these, just, and I mean, it's not even necessarily drives because they're not necessarily go, they're not being sustained, but like just some of the stuff that you're seeing out here, and you see a possession in, possession out, and I kind of feel the same about Hudson Card. I don't think that he's. I just don't feel like he's playing like himself. I mean, I think that, yeah, he obviously could be using his legs more, but also I'm not aware of what the conversations might have been with him, you know, in the quarterback room and whatnot, leading up to games. But yeah, it just feels like, nah, we should be able to do more, even if we don't have the most talented guys at wide receiver, at tight end, or at running back. Even if we don't have the most talented guys, we have talented enough guys to where you feel like we should be able to put drives together, and be able to, you know, to be able to score, just be able to comfortably get, you know, 17, 20 a game. I don't feel like that's like asking a lot. And especially the timeliness of the drives too, you know, the defense goes out there and they have to, you know, they give up a touchdown drive, but it's, you know, a 6-minute drive. Like, they're going to be tired. So it's important that next drive out, that, you know, that the offense is able to get a couple first downs and at the very least, maybe be able to flip the field back. So when the defense does come back, yeah, maybe they, you know, they're in a good position and they've had some time to rest. But that just hasn't been the case. You've watched teams go down and score, and then boom, 3-and-out for us. The defense is right back on there, and that adds up. And then your legs get heavy and you get tired. And then, you know, as we see in the third and the fourth quarter, especially, that'll show up in things like missed tackles and just kind of just overall missed assignments on defense. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I did just want to kind of highlight Hudson too a little bit, because I know it does sound like, you know, that everything falls on Graham Harrell's shoulders. But, you know, regardless of who's calling the plays, the offense has to just execute better too. I went back and I looked at the stats for the past three games from Hudson. These are combined stats. This isn't just like one game. So in the past three games against Notre Dame, Oregon State, and Nebraska, Hudson Card is 36 of 66 for 354 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. And to your point, 3 of those interceptions have been returned to the house. So the defense has scored as many touchdowns off Hudson as he's thrown himself. And I don't want to just like start ripping into Hudson, but that's just kind of more to a point where like it's not just Graham, like the offense in general has to execute better. Like the players like got to step up now. Like,
the accountability, it goes, Graham's the one who got fired, but like, don't get it twisted. Like there's pressure on everyone who's on that offensive side of the ball. I still think there's pressure on everybody on Purdue's team, whether you're a coach or you're a player. Because I think another thing that Walters mentioned in his presser was that he didn't want to make wholesale changes. And wholesale changes obviously suggest much larger and grander in scale. So if I'm hearing that, I'm thinking like, okay, well, that doesn't mean that I might not be a part of like another set of changes that might come later. But you're right. I mean, while Hudson hasn't necessarily played well, there haven't been like it. I mean, there've been times where he's made throws and receivers have dropped them. That's not helping, you know, and obviously like, you're not necessarily going to get a perfect pass every time, but I'm very much so of the mindset of like, hey man, sometimes you have to make a play for your quarterback. And if it hits the hands, you got to bring it in. You got to bring it in. Even if you got to extend, I mean, you might not be able to bring them all in, but man, like there was a big one in the Oregon State game, I think, where Hudson, you know, drops back. He gets the slide, move up in the pocket. He's running to his right and he throws back to the left. Throws to a receiver and it hits his hands and it just bounces off him, you know, incomplete. It's fourth down. You got to punt. And so it's like, you know, everyone has to do better. The line has to block better. Line has to protect. Like I said, receivers, tight ends, they have to make sure that like if they have to, they have to make catches. And then in situations where, you know, you kind of have to make a play for your quarterback, like I was just referring to, like, yeah, you got to. Like this is like this Purdue team is not, we're not at the point where like you can just hang your hat on one side of the ball, just being able to bring you home. Like, as we've been saying, and it's, you know, the theme of this episode, complementary football. They're not going to win without complementary football. And that requires more than just one guy on each side or one coach or what and one whatever being better. It requires everyone to be better.
Yeah. Yeah. And, So let's kind of switch gears now to who's going to be calling the plays the rest of the season. So Coach Walters did state that the new offensive coordinator is going to be Jason Simmons, who is an analyst on the staff currently. And just a little background for Jason. Last year, he was the running back coach at Miami of Ohio. And previously, he has been a high school coach, a very successful high school coach in the state of Indiana, most recently at Ben Davis and Noblesville. So you got a guy that has Indiana ties, has done a good job, has head coaching experience and play calling experience, albeit at the high school level. Was the running back coach at the at Miami of Ohio last year, but because he hasn't called plays before, it's really hard to kind of know what kind of expectations we're going to see. And so I kind of flip that to you is like, what do you want to see from Coach Simmons? I'm assuming it's kind of just what we've talked about, but anything else that kind of we haven't really touched on that you want to see moving forward?
No, I mean my request is really the same I had for Harrell, like the last three games, specifically really the last two. You just want to see, I guess I want to see more variation in the play calling. Just seeing some stuff that maybe we haven't seen before. Like I said, screen passes, short passes. I think short passes are always great to try to get a quarterback into rhythm. Because sometimes like simplifying things and simplifying the reads, is a lot easier. I'd like to see like Hudson uses legs more, but I don't know if that's necessarily something that Jason's got to say to him, or if someone's just got to say to Hudson, like, hey, bro, like use your legs. You don't necessarily need to be classified as a runner, but you also like need to be someone who the defense knows, hey, he's willing to take off and run.
Be a
I think
threat.
it's a
Just be a
I think
threat.
right. Just be a threat. Be a threat to get those 5, 6, 7 yards. That goes a long way. And then I also, I mean, but it kind of sucks for him that his first game is at Wisconsin, because historically we've done so well against Wisconsin. But yeah, I don't really have I don't have any new in terms of like, hey, here's what I expect, here's what I want, just because like my hopes and wishes and dreams and my desires, those are all the same as what they've been this entire, like, these last three games. So yeah, I mean, I'm eager to see though what exactly he does. And Walter said he was going to be more involved in the play calling, and I think it's going to be more like kind of a group discussion, I guess, when it comes in terms of the game planning and whatnot. But he's going to be the one calling plays on Saturday. Jason Simmons is. But I'm just curious to see like what does it look like, and is this the type of coaching change that suddenly injects all this energy into the players, where they also kind of understand the sense of urgency. They're like, okay, like, hey guys, we got to start showing up now. We got to start carrying our own.
Yeah, I'm super interested to just see kind of what the offense is going to be like. And really, I just want to see some flow, just, have some calls that make sense. Like the calls don't always have to work, but just have them make sense. And just like to your point with the short throws, let's try to get in just a little bit of a rhythm, have some flow. I know we've talked about it on previous ones, but maybe go to like a little hurry up so that there's not as much thinking involved and you can just kind of let the game flow naturally. So really, really interested to see kind of how that'll progress. To your point, it's gonna be tough at Wisconsin. But that's kind of life in the Big Ten because it's not going to get any easier. We talked about it a little bit. These are the next few games for the Boilermakers: at Wisconsin, at 24 ranked Illinois, home against Oregon, home against Northwestern, at number 3 Ohio State, home against number 7 Penn State. So good luck. But that's kind of my point. Like, I don't want to put like, oh, well, we gotta score X amount of points, we gotta throw X amount of yards. I really just want to see some rhythm. I want to see some flow to the offense, you know, just to kind of put a bow on everything. Let's see some complimentary football. Let's see some clock used, give the defense a break. And let's keep putting the ball in playmakers' hands. And whether that's feeding Maccabee and Love more, and getting them going, I wouldn't mind seeing both of them on the field. You know, just doing some things to try to mix it up, and try to, you know, just get some rhythm going, because this offense right now is just stuck in mud.
So yeah, it's stuck in mud, might be stuck in concrete. Yeah, you just want to see more. I keep thinking in my head actually back to when Hazel got fired, and then what was it Gerard Parker came in, and how you just kind of saw like kind of a whole team that was kind of like rejuvenated. Now granted, I mean they still lost, but like you could tell the effort it picked up. When that change was made. And yeah, you just want to see stuff that you haven't been seeing up to this point. And I think if we see that, like, yeah, you'll like, yeah, well, they probably, I mean, they might still, they probably still will lose to Wisconsin. Spoiler alert for the next episode. But it'll give you hope, I think, going forward in terms of like, okay, well, like this is something at least we can work with. And I think that once you know, if you are able to kind of expand the playbook, expand what you're doing, and then you can start to see, like, even from stuff that might not necessarily work as well as you want it to, you can start to understand, okay, well, like actually this might have worked, like this part of this worked pretty well. So like, is there a way that we can kind of utilize this more? Or like just in terms again of just utilizing guys' skill sets to put them in positions to be successful, like that's what we, I, that's for me. If I see that, like that will go a long way for me. That'll go a long way for me in terms of like my outlook and my hope going forward.
I agree. Well, that will just about do it for this episode. Appreciate everybody listening, everybody giving us reviews, everybody giving us 5-star ratings. So please keep doing that. Please keep spreading the word, getting us out there. Appreciate all the love and support. We will be back later this week. We will preview a game. I'm not sure either of us are looking forward to a preview at Wisconsin, but we're going to do it, and we're going to find some things to talk about that we can be hopeful about and look forward to. But in the meantime, once again, just thank everybody for listening, and boiler up.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about spotted cow and cheese curds.